A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is never mistaken for Derek Jeter. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our live eviction show on the night before one of the first five house guests evicted from Big Brother comes back into the house. Brent, the eyes of the world are on us right now to talk about this exciting night.
Rob, I never want you to feel like what it's like not to have me on Thursday nights, or you might just get rid of me.
Well, no, yeah, that's rule number one for Dayvon. Right? And she told us about the rules. She wasn't really following the rule. On a night, Brent, when Julie Chen came on and told us, hey, everybody, just so you know, this is going to go down to the wire. This is a really, it's been going back and forth all night. Stay tuned for what should be a very close decision. Could go either way before we got our unanimous 8-0 vote tonight, Brent.
Well, I mean, it was always going to be a 6-2 vote. I mean, Frank and Bridget were totally in favor of keeping Tiffany, as you and Taryn talked about last night. But the problem was that if they can't get anybody else, then Frank just took Bridget aside and said, you know, it's better to for the better part of valor, and we'll just vote with the house and we'll make it 8-0. I like that even does anything, because everybody and their mother knows that Frank and Bridget wanted to keep Tiffany.
Now, Brent, did they just throw that in there just to keep us standing by and not like flipping around to like the Republican convention or anything like that? Or was there actually stuff going on during the day today?
There was stuff going on in the day today. I mean, there were conversations being had. I mean, Nicole and Corey were definitely more in favor of keeping Tiffany and getting rid of Day because of her anti-showmance stance more than anybody else. But they were never going to go out on a limb by themselves. I mean, I don't even think Nicole would have necessarily been comfortable with it being 5-3. I think she wanted... 5-3 in favor of keeping Tiffany. I think she wanted all of her friends to come over with her, and it'd be like an 8-0 or a 7-1 vote the other way. And then she would have felt okay keeping Tiffany. But she was never going to be, you know, the deciding vote to keep Tiffany, because she didn't want the rest of the house, including Polly, to be mad at her. And I have no idea why. It's not like Polly can play for HOH next week. It's absolutely crazy to me.
Okay, so we'll talk everything through here tonight. Plus, we're going to take your questions. Hashtag RHAP. Also on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. We'll get set. We got to check in with all of the Battle Back people and see what they are thinking as they get ready to head into the big competition coming up on Friday night. That's actually going to play out probably like in the next couple of hours tonight, where we will see somebody come back into the house and probably also maybe be in the mix for HOH, since we didn't have an HOH crown. We'll talk through all of the logistics of that and much more with you guys here tonight. All right. So, Brent, we have Tiffany gone, but how likely do you think it is that Tiffany, within the next couple hours, will be back in the house?
Extremely likely. I mean, she only has to win one round. Let's remember the way Battle Back works. You know, it's like a tournament competition, and the people who get evicted last only have to win one more round in order to come back. So the people that have the lowest chance are Jose and Glenn.
How dare you not have Glenn top of mind?
Right. He seems to be in very good spirits, so I'll give him credit for that.
Listen, what? I'm eating breakfast. I've been working out. I've been thinking about this. I'm ready to go. Sure. We're getting out the vets. They came into the house. They thought they could run the show. We're going to get them out of the house. All the vets.
Right? By the way, it took me back to how the House thought during week one, because that's all Glenn knows. Hello, Big Brother Canada. They sequestered everybody separately. So Glenn is not aware of what happened right after him. He thinks it's still, you know, the whole House against the four vets. I'm sure he thinks Frank and Day have been evicted by now. So he has no idea what's happening. He has no idea the logistics in the House. If he actually knew what was happening right now, I think he might go insane. That all four vets are still in there, that the newbies are working with the vets, and I don't see any one of them going anywhere anytime soon. Maybe Day and Frank, but you know, you're going to have to get through a few hurdles just to get that done.
I'm coming back in. We're getting rid of all the vets. It's our turn now. Watch out, world.
I think he would have some very good company with Paulie, because that's what Paulie acted like. He acted like Don Corleone this week up there in the HOH room. Like, you know, if I don't say it's good, then it's not good. So, I mean, that was really, everyone was worried about Paulie, and I don't understand why. I wish someone could come on and explain to me why they were so worried about Paulie.
All right. I've been working on my catchphrase for everybody over the last month. When I get into the House, I'm going to come back all the time and say my catchphrase, Glenship.
We found our hashtag again.
Glenship.
Yes. Yeah. At least we didn't have to hear that very much tonight.
Your boy Glenship is coming back.
Oh, well, I can only hope for some Glenship after this much friendship all season long. I did notice that Jose hasn't lost any of his swagger, and Victor is very anti-Paulie, and suddenly I was rooting for Victor to come back into the House next week.
Yeah, the battle back is going to be so exciting. I can't wait for it. We're going to be live tomorrow night after it all takes place, at least after we see it all happen, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to be live with Taryn and Alex. No live feed update. Normally, we do an update on Friday morning, talk about what happened overnight. But since we don't have HOH, the feeds are going to be cut. No Big Brother After Dark. We have no way to know what is going on in the Big Brother house at this time. So we will all be surprised tomorrow night when we find out about all that. Okay, so we'll talk more battle back as we go along. But let's just get back to this vote. Brent, did anything ultimately surprise you with what we saw on the show that maybe wasn't coming through on the feeds?
I think the number one thing was that for me, Bridget had been talking all week about, well, no matter what, I'm voting for Tiffany to stay. I want to show people that I'm a woman of my word. And Frank, I felt like, was also going to be like that. And at the last moment, they both decided to vote with the House. I don't know. I'm kind of two minds about it. I understand where they're coming from, wanting to vote with the House. On the other hand, it would be more interesting 6-2. I mean, they're not hiding any cards anyway. I mean, they're not pulling anything over on anybody. The one thing I did like was you could really read it on Nicole's face when she voted, how unsure she was about her vote. I mean, she seemed like, you know, like that we were pulling hairs to try to get her to vote Tiffany out. I really don't think she wanted to do it. I think, you know, obviously if she had her druthers, she would have liked to get rid of Day. Ultimately, the two people that they could not convince, Paulie and Michelle, those were the two cogs in the machine that they just could not get to get on board with keeping Tiffany.
Now, I know you guys touched on this during the happy hour this week, but Michelle was so anti-Tiffany. She was upset about anybody talking with her. What exactly went down between Michelle and Tiffany that Michelle just doesn't even want to entertain anybody talking with her?
I haven't seen it. That's the problem. I mean, up until today, there was supposed to be a conversation happening between Tiffany and Michelle. And, you know, up until about 3 p.m. when the feeds went out for a little while, I hadn't seen that conversation happen. You know, I think it was someone in our patron group, Justin, who said that, you know, Nicole wants to help Tiffany, but in order for her to help Tiffany, Tiffany has to be willing to help herself. And I do feel like that Tiffany maybe was leaning on Frank a little bit too much during all of this. And I don't think that worked to her benefit. As you saw during Paulie's goodbye message, the fact that Frank was so pro-keeping Tiffany, I really do think worked to her detriment, because Frank is unable to read the house. And even though he's basically been told that they all want you out, it's just he doesn't understand that by campaigning to keep Tiffany, the House is going to want to get rid of Tiffany because that in turn helps them get rid of Frank.
Yeah, because I thought that Tiffany actually was doing a good job in her campaigning. Certainly in the episode we saw on Sunday night, that was the worst of it. But it did seem like she got her feet under her in terms of campaigning. We saw that scene around the kitchen table where everybody was hanging out and Tiffany was hanging out. She's wearing Paulie's hat, as Davon pointed out. But here's Davon, who... You and I both have been very complimentary of Davon as a character on the show. She seems like a very fun personality. But Brent, she makes it almost impossible to defend her gameplay at this point.
I cannot defend her gameplay. I mean, it's terrible. It's fun to watch. It's a disaster waiting to happen. But it's terrible. I can't even believe that she had a conversation. I'm starting to rant again. She had this conversation with James about the showmances. And the best part of that conversation was James going, I'm in a showmance.
Yeah, not you. Not you. You're one of the good ones.
Yeah, not you. You're unimportant. I'm talking about the real showmances. No, it was terrible. It was disastrous. I don't know what she was thinking.
There was that conversation where she went upstairs with Michelle and with Zakiya, and she's talking about, see what she's doing down there? And again, we've talked about how observant Davon is, and she's very good. She's like, here she is. She's like pointing it out, like, oh, there she is. She's wearing the hat. She's hanging out with everybody. That's the first rule of the Big Brother house. Don't let people feel like what it would be like if you weren't there. And she's saying everything correctly. You know, if this was a podcast, she's like, oh, those are all great points, Davon. But she seems to have no ability to act on those things, where I do think that the biggest thing in this game is just being a fun person to be around in the house. And you saw Tiffany, who we know is an emotional player, she's able to go down there and pretend to have fun and mix it up with everybody. But Davon, she's telling you exactly what she needs to be doing, but she's upstairs in the HOH sulking.
Right? I have to say, I've been podcasting with you for about 2 years now, both with Big Brother US and Big Brother Canada. I have never heard someone put it in a nutshell like that. In that you never want the house to get used to what it's like not having you in the house. I've never really heard it said like that. Maybe somebody has, but I've never heard it. And I was like, wow, that's genius. I mean, like, you know, a good act on that. But she has a total inability to execute her plans. It's not something that's necessarily indigenous to Davon. I mean, there are plenty of other people in the history of Big Brother who have an idea of what to do and somehow are unable to do it. But it was disastrous watching it happen. And again, that whole conversation with James about the showmances, the one thing that James looks like the kind of guy who can keep a secret, but he is so not. If you watched him last season, Big Brother 16, he just can't. He can't keep a secret. Mm-hmm. And he'll tell you, yeah, of course, it's just between you and us. You know, I'm a good old boy. I won't tell anybody. Then 5 seconds later, he's in the storage room talking with Paulie about what Davon had said about the showmances and how somehow that conversation became Paulie's now the number one target, which I never really heard Davon say that.
And then the bit in the goodbye messages where, you know, it's this is a returning player who has to know that there's a real possibility somebody could be coming back into the house. And that goodbye message was really terrible. There is a 50-50 shot that Tiffany is coming back in the house. And Davon is like, no matter what, it doesn't matter. I beat you. I'm better than you. I beat you. And there's such a real possibility that Tiffany is going to go further than Davon in this game.
Right. I thought there was a possibility that if Tiffany comes back into the game, maybe she won't go after Davon. Maybe she'll see the bigger picture that there are bigger fish to fry in the two showmances that seem to be making all the calls in the house. But that goodbye message was so terrible. And the hilarious part is that during week one, Davon would not give us the goodbye message that we wanted for Jose, because she was worried about the fact that there was going to be a pre-juror buyback.
Yeah, well, we're past that now.
I remember lamenting it on Twitter how it's so terrible for Big Brother players to be thinking like this. That's why you don't want to have buybacks, because it stifles people's games. I mean, you want good TV. And here she is. She's gotten comfortable. It's week five. And she just decides to let it all out. And of the times to let it out, this was not the time.
Right.
But the one time to keep your cool. This was the one time.
It will be fun to see Davon's face if Tiffany comes back in then.
I would love for Tiffany to walk back in and say, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Like, I mean, just like Davon with that sing song thing that she did. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be glorious television.
And then in terms of the hair whip gate from last night, from last night. Yeah. Well, you know, I was, you know, Team Davon on that. I was like, come on, Tiffany, let's not be a baby about this, about how, you know, she didn't try to hit you with her hair. And then we find out, no, that's in Shade 101. That's she did try to hit Tiffany with her hair.
Yeah, when I used to have longer hair, I've tried that a few times and it didn't quite work out. The hilarious part was that I listened to your podcast before I actually watched the show. I had the show taped. And so that I went back and watched the show. And from, you know, like what I was listening to, it was like a lion whip or something. And then I saw it on the show and her hair barely hit her. I mean, it was nothing. It was literally James All-Stars. Oh my God, there's harm. Do you see the harm here? Like, what? There's nothing here. But it didn't, to hear Davon tell it, she was doing it on purpose. So that totally confused me.
Yeah. So Brett, is Davon just sort of like dead in the water here? I mean, where can she go from this point? I mean, what does she have?
Oh my God. I don't know. I do have the distinct feeling that, you know, there's going to be, once the battle back happens, there's going to be 12 people left in the Big Brother house. Obviously, two people go to the final two. It's usually been a 9-person jury these past few seasons. So that means whoever is evicted this coming week will not make it to jury. And I am very worried that our girl Davon is not going to make it to jury, because she has no allies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even think that Michelle and Zakiya are sturdy allies for her anymore. They've moved on. Like, Michelle has taken Davon's place in the Showman's Alliance, being the fifth wheel, and Zakiya is totally in bed with Polly, literally and figuratively.
Wow. Brett, I got to get your take on the haircut that everybody is talking about, where it went from Paulie was constantly talking about in the house.
My brother Cody.
Yeah. Now it looks like my brother Paul. I got to be the same as Paul in the house. I need the Paul haircut for my friendship.
Right. And friendship came up during his haircut. He was like, well, we just look for the hairline and then friendship it up. Like, I'm like, I don't know about friendshipping it up. That doesn't look so good.
Didn't this start out that Paul was going to be sort of like the sidekick to Paulie? How did Paulie become the sidekick to Paul?
I don't know. They obviously Paulie's been hearing things about Day. He's been hearing things from other people about the showmances. Paul seems to be a very amiable, cool type of guy to get along with. And, I think he just found somebody that he maybe trusts in the Big Brother house. You know, at the end of the day, it's about who do you trust? Who do you like? Who do you get along with in the Big Brother house? And Paul seems to have cracked that code with Paulie. I don't know what he was trying to do with his haircut, though, because if he was his friend, he wouldn't have done that to his hair.
Yeah. Brent, so rate the new Paulie haircut. Is it friendship or
pissed?
What was the second one?
Pissed.
Oh, it was terrible. I had no friendship at all. There was no friendship involved in the making of this haircut.
I mean, there's no confusion that the hotter Califiore brother is
my brother Cody.
And it's not close now, right?
It's not close. And I was reminded of that when he was on our television and I tweeted about that. Like, I kind of forgot how good looking Cody was.
Yeah, this was not the night to show up with this haircut on the live show when Cody is going to be on the show. Like, Cody is a, I make fun of Paulie on the show. I have no ill will towards Cody.
right? I mean, I was aghast when I saw Cody doing the interview about his brother, Paulie, because I've been saying that, you know, Paulie is like just as good looking and as his brother.
No.
And, there's no comparison there. Like, let's not even have that discussion.
Bred for this.
Yeah. No, he's not bred for this. He was not bred for this. Yeah. No, this is not a good comparison now for Paulie.
I mean, the one thing I got right out of the many things I got wrong in the pre-evaluation of these people, I said that Paulie is like the, you know, rougher, hungrier version of Cody. And I do think that's right. Like,
this is a damn good steak.
Yeah, he's hungry.
Cooked to perfection. And
I can't imagine Cody ever trying to rattle Tiffany right before the roadkill ceremony.
Yeah, he would not try to do that. Even Paul Cagliafiore was like, hey, you know, my son Paulie, he's got a showmance, and the showmance, the guy always goes home.
Right? He knows what he's talking about. Like, yeah. I'm sure, like,
That was a good point.
The one thing that Cody was able to do during Big Brother 16 was not get in a showmance. I mean, he was a flirt, but he wasn't in a showmance. If anything, a showmance was Derek. I mean, like, that was his number one ride or die. And Paulie has definitely broken that rule. He's now in bed with Zakiya. And they're seen as a pair now. There were a few weeks early on where I did not necessarily see Paulie and Zakiya as a pair. I saw Zakiya more loyal to Davon, or more loyal to Davon and Nicole. But I do not see that anymore. I see Zakiya very, very loyal to Paulie, and I think that's trouble for Paulie.
Yeah, it could be some trouble. Hope he doesn't get rattled.
I decide to rattle her.
Yeah. So he may or may not decide to rattle her at some point this season. All right. We saw also a bit with James and Natalie. Also another big push for James and Natalie. What's the status of Jadley?
I mean, it's there. They're still together, whatever that is. I mean, I don't know what this is. I mean, they're obviously the number three showmance alliance in the house. No one really thinks of them. I thought it was hilarious that Davon didn't even consider them a showmance when she was talking about showmances. And they're made up now. They're working together. James even helped her write this speech that she gave. I thought it was a little too cute by half. She doesn't need to say stuff like that. She doesn't need to show anybody that she's thinking strategically. She just needs to say, hey, I love you all. You guys are great friends. Please vote to keep me. Thank you very much. Sit down.
That was two people that had to collaborate on the, yeah, I'm short. So I'm like half of a vote for Corey. So
yes,
you should keep me around. That's gold. That's gold.
Right?
James keep that. Came up keep with that, half Natalie. Of that. Yeah. Go for it. Oh, I love gosh. That. That's great. I'm a man. I don't need you to write my speech for me. What about James talking about when Julie says, oh, and there's more twists and more secrets coming? And James, like, gets in Corey's face and is like, are you Derek Jeter? Are you Derek Jeter? What?
Well, I thought it was funny. I mean, like,
Corey looks nothing like Derek Jeter.
I know. They're not going to figure out the twist. He's just having a good time.
If it's a joke that he looks nothing like him.
I think that's the joke. I'm hoping.
Is that what if that's the joke, I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, he might as well be saying, are you Cam Newton? Are you Cam Newton? Tell me the truth right now. I mean, that there's I guess they both played baseball.
I agree. I would like to point out something though, really quick. When Julie told the house, you know, the teams are over, I saw a lot of scared people. I liked it that the teams are over, because I think they've gotten very, very comfortable talking about, okay, I'm going to throw this, you throw that, we'll give it to you, we'll do this. And I think, you know, I'm glad Big Brother wised up to it, because all of a sudden Michelle and a few other people were not very happy to hear that they're not protected by the unnatural alliance of their team anymore.
Yeah. Now, Brent, here's the line, though, from the night that should have us all shaking in our earbuds when Julie says, and we're going to have more secrets and twists to come. I will let you guys know, which implies more than just one person is coming back into the house. What does Big Brother have in store? What fresh hell is coming, Brent?
I don't know what they have in store, but I remember an interview that Allison Grodner and Rich Meehan did at the beginning of the season where they said no battle of the block, so we're not going to have two head of households. And the interviewer said, well, what are you going to do with that room, the old Pandora box room? And they said, oh, we have plans for that. We have plans. Hmm. And that room has not been seen this season. So I have to think that whatever twist that they have wrought that is coming down the pike has something to do with that room. I know it's coming into play some because they were very, very proud of it. So I'm not sure what they're up to, but I know that has something to do with it. And by the way, given that there are 99 days this year, and given the fact that Glenn was effectively Jody'd on the first night,
and it's day 34,
I would not be surprised to see another buyback during the jury. Like it's Redemption Island all over again. We were okay with it for the pre-jurors, but now the show is going to do too much and they're going to continue it into the jury.
You know, it was interesting that Julie said, tomorrow night, join us for our first Battle Back episode. She used the word first and not but first.
I missed that.
She said our first Battle Back. Now, yes, that technically this is correct. This is the first Battle Back that they've ever had. But first could also imply first of two or maybe three. So that is a very good point about the Redemption Island of it all.
Yeah, I missed that part about her saying the first. I want to see what's going to happen to the house guests if they even suspect that they're going to continue. Because they're going to find out about this battle back. I have to think they're going to do it. They're probably going to do it in front of the house guests in the backyard. I mean, I have to think they're going to do that. So yeah. All of the people in the house are going to be rooting for, like, say, Glenn to come back in. And they're definitely going to be rooting against Tiffany. And I guess Polly wouldn't be rooting for Victor.
All right. Let me give the chat room an assignment. Okay. Let's assume and presume one double eviction along the way. Okay. Does that sound right? You think there'll be one or two double evictions along the way?
I think there'll be two double evictions. Okay. The show has done two double evictions since Big Brother 14, I think, was the first time they did two double evictions in a season.
All right. So presuming that the finale of Big Brother is on Wednesday, the 21st, factor in two double evictions. Tell me if we're getting a buyback a second time this season. Let us know. All right. I want to start to open up the questions as well as we talk through the battle back people. Let's just set the stage. First, we got Glenn, the Glenn ship. We got a little, you know, there's a little bit of a talk of maybe we were going to see now a totally ripped Glenn. I don't know. That might have been a bit of a fan fiction.
Yeah, girl, bye. That did not happen. Glenn looks exactly the same.
Yeah,
they've got all you can eat eggs here in the Ponderosa.
I miss Glenn.
In Sequester. They should call it Eggsquester.
And by the way, he loves to point out, he's already pointed it out to Big Jeff, and he's pointing it out to us, how he didn't get voted out. He just lost the competition. And I thought it was so funny that he blamed his team, and then yet when Big Brother was showing the team competitions, they totally threw him under the bus and showed him screwing up everything.
When I come back, all the Freakazoids better watch out. Because this time, you're not getting one over on the Glenn diagram. I'm coming for you.
I love that impression.
You.
Yeah. It's very good.
And he says he's coming for the vets. Now, Jose, he talks about he's coming in for Davon. Brent, talk about another delicious scenario. Here comes Jose back into the house, and Jose might be greeted with this plan of, hey, my plan is get Davon out of the house. Everybody welcomes back in. Jose, you're just the person we wanted to see. Right. Your timing is impeccable, Jose.
Yeah, I don't think that even if Jose came back, he would be able to do it that smoothly. I mean, that's just not Jose. It's so funny to me that by Davon trying to be so fake during her goodbye message that Jose holds her accountable when I think if she had just had some fun with it and been her normal self, that I don't think he would have given a flip.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think that she made her own bet on that one.
Brent, were you curious as to who Jose was playing volleyball with, or was he just, is he like Superman that he's just going back and like hitting the ball back and forth over the net?
I did. I was like, was there some intern there?
He's like Mr. Perfect. Yeah.
Right. It has to be some handler that's playing volleyball with him. Because obviously, they put them in, you know, once they showed us Jose, and you knew that Glenn didn't know, you know, from anything what had been going on in the house when he's still wanting to target the vets. Like, he's acting like it's week one all over again. That they had sequestered all five of them separately, or at least all four of them. And, you know, they haven't been able to share anything that's been going on. I love that very much. Good job.
Now, Victor, I talked about this as worst case scenario, Victor coming back into the house. Although, Victor wants to target Pauly. So at least there's like somebody coming in that like wants to make Pauly the number one target.
Right. I was very anti-Victor coming back until I heard that. But, you know, on the other hand, Victor is very flighty in terms of who he can target and who he wants to go after. So, I mean, just because he says that, I mean, I could see him coming back into the house and, you know, 15 minutes later, Pauly and Corey get with him and say, hey, you know, and Paul, remember, he's with Paul. So, and Paul is currently with Pauly. So I can't imagine that Paul is just going to let Victor go after Pauly. So I think that plan's a sham. That's not really going to happen. If Victor comes back into the house, I think he'll do what Paul tells him to do, and that's probably go after Davon.
Bronte says, I don't know who I'm going to target, but if I find out who put the target on me, that's who I'm going to go after. So she's really just like, yeah, I have no idea what happened there.
Well, and she's missing the forest for the trees here. Like, the person who switched the plan isn't the person who was anti-Bronte. The person who switched the plan was anti-Frank. I mean, Bronte was essentially collateral damage. I mean, and I'm sorry to tell her that, but no one really cared much about her.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted to keep Tiffany as a big F you to Frank, like Tiffany said. So, I mean, I think Bronte's better choice if she comes back into the house and gets power. You know, either lay low or go directly after the showmances. I mean, if you put one showmance from each side, like, you know, say Nicole and Pauly up on the block, you know, they're going to splinter because obviously they're going to be working at opposing interests. So I think that might be the best way for her to reintegrate herself back into the house if she becomes head of household upon her return.
All right. And then lastly, we have Tiffany, who ends up going out. If she comes back into the house, Davon's number one target, or is there a bigger target for Tiffany?
I mean, I think that, like I said, I think there might have been a chance that she would target somebody else, like the decision makers, the Paulies, the Zakias, the Nicoles of the world. But Davon with that goodbye message, I mean, wow, talk about bad timing.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, she's held her tongue for the most part all season long. And here, you know, it's like a marathon and it's mile 26 and she falls down. Like, what were you? Like, she wasn't even running that well to begin with, but she was doing okay holding her tongue. And now I think there's no chance that Tiffany targets anybody but Davon if she comes back into the house, which would be a mistake. Davon does not have any power in the house. She is a lone wolf, just like Tiffany. If they can learn to trust each other and trust Frank, they could be very powerful in the game.
Okay, so now we have this battle back competition, but I just hope that for Glenn's sake that the first round isn't some sort of beach volleyball competition between Glenn and Jose.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have to think that there's going to be some endurance, some sort of balance competition there at the end. Tiffany's not very good at many things.
But I don't think that's going to be, and let's talk this through in terms of how it's going to be, because I just feel like, okay, all right, that's a wrap. We're going to, you know, wrap up Big Brother. Maybe they release the audience here for this, but I think they're going to keep Julie Chen there. I don't think they're going to go all hours of the night with this. I feel like that they probably want to get Julie Chen out of there. I think she probably wants to go home at some point. So I don't think we're going to get into some sort of like long time endurance competition, because I feel like that they probably are going to have Julie be hosting the different events. Otherwise, they would just do it on Friday, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember like last season when Johnny Mac came back into the house, but Julie Chen was not there to say, you know, Johnny Mac, welcome back into the game. I think it was just like the Big Brother gave it to the outgoing head of household to read on a little, you know, placard where they were just like, you know, John, you're back in the game now. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they necessarily need Julie Chen there, although considering they are making it its own episode, odds are she probably will be there.
Yeah, I think so. So now how is this going to work? Because I thought, and we all presume, that they would do HOH and then have the battle back for Friday. And then it turns out that we're going to, it looks like we're going to do the battle back. And then the HOH is going to be part of the Sunday night episode.
Right. Well, they had to get all those little
And no roadkill also. So that's right. Maybe that this new secret or whatever is going to tie into maybe some sort of new Sunday night competition.
Yeah, maybe, you know, we kicked around the idea in the off season of like a safety competition or something to keep, I don't know. Like I said, something's going on with that second room. I don't know what it is, but it sounded like they were going to play classic Big Brother up until the point that Julie said, you know, wait for the other twists and secrets to be revealed this season. Yeah.
Right. So, exactly. All right. So the HOH will go down on Sunday, and it looks like whoever is the battle back person that returns could be eligible for HOH.
Yeah, will be eligible. Yeah, definitely. Julie said how, you know, what if the person who comes back into the house rises to power? So I thought they were going to be immune and reintegrate themselves back into the house, but obviously that's not the case. They're going to, it seems like they're going to be available to be revolving doored if somebody else gets head of household.
Okay. All right. So we'll see ultimately how that will play out. And when somebody comes in to the HOH competition, when the feeds come back on Friday night, we will obviously see the person who has returned. And then also, we will find out that HOH, we probably might find out that information as we are going along here on the show. So, maybe we're going to have some spies who are, finding out that information and sending it in to, Taryn and Alex as they're on the show with me and not just posting in the chat room because people get mad. All right, let's get into some questions, Brent. All right. So here we go. This is from Michael GM. Robin Brent, could Cody's showmance with Christine be the reason why Paulie really isn't in the mood for a showmance? Yeah, that's true. Like, you know, My brother Cody. He was with he got in a flirt mance and everybody got mad.
Well, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but you know, it's
but not at
my brother Cody.
Yeah,
it's all about perception. I mean, from Paulie's point of view, he may not think that he's in a showmance with Zakiya. I mean, he's like I think it was Umberto who was talking yesterday about the fact that both Zakiya and Nicole were wanting kisses from the boys and the boys weren't giving them. So, you know, they were irritated about that. So, I mean, Paulie may not see it like he's in a showmance with Zakiya, but the perception in the house is that that's what it is. And perception trumps reality in the Big Brother house. So I don't think he's necessarily doing himself any good by not doing this or that with Zakiya when no one's looking because they see them as a pair.
How could I be a showmance when we didn't even hook up?
Right. I'm sure that's what he's thinking.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's keep going. This is from UW. Did the video segments of the previously evicted house guest tonight change who you want to come back tomorrow? Did that color your opinion of anybody, Brent?
I mean, like I said, Victor, I was hopeful about what Victor said. Jose seems like he has some spark. And Glenn, I think it would be hilarious to see what Glenn comes back into the house, considering he knows nothing of what's happened the last 4 weeks in the house.
I know more about this house. I've forgotten more about this game than you will ever know, Brent.
Thank you, Glenn. Yes, yes. I really think we can't go wrong. I think Victor and Bronte would probably be the two people that I would least like to hope to win the battle back competition and potentially come back into the house with some power.
Here's the competition. You put me in a chicken coop and then there's a wire fence and I've got to manipulate the egg through the fence. I've been working with eggs every morning the last 32 days.
He's ready.
I know. I'm like, your Glenn impression is so on point tonight. I love it.
I've
like,
been an ex-quester. Trust me. Trust me.
Ex-quester. Oh, God. Yeah, good stuff from Glenn. I loved it.
Maggie says, I missed something. Are we to believe the evicted BB18 house guests have been all hanging out in their own LA mansions? Yeah. Are they just like subletting a room in different mansions?
I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know where they are, but obviously they have some properties here and there where they can send them to for a week or two. I mean, you can rent a house for a week. I mean, and we don't know exactly how good the houses are. I mean, they might be like 2-3 bedrooms or, you know, I mean, come on. This is CBS. They got a little bit of money and I'm glad they did it the right way. They didn't put all of the house guests together and let them spill all their secrets. That definitely leaves a bad taste in my mouth when shows do that.
Right. So there's like some Airbnb that they just like took out for, you know, the last 5 weeks, and Glenn's just like staying in a room in somebody's house.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely four different places. I mean, if you looked, I mean, like the places that they were staying weren't even the same. So yeah, they definitely did that. You're so tickled by Glenn. I love it.
I love Glenn. I can't wait to that. If Glenn does not make it back into the house, I want him on this show in the next 7 days.
Okay. I'm with you.
I am with you.
We can bring him on.
Yeah. Okay. Fat Tyson Apostle said, so Day's main motivation is beating a Russo. She put a target on her biggest ally. And now what does that leave her? Yeah. Is this Vanessa related, the bloodlust that Devon has for Tiffany?
I don't think it's necessarily Vanessa related. I do think that's like a side bonus for Day. I mean, she seems to have an inability to trust Tiffany. And as you heard from Vanessa previously in the show tonight, Tiffany has been nothing but loyal to Day. And that's true for the most part. I mean, definitely when the Polly head of household the second time happened and everybody basically ostracized Tiffany, that was a point where Tiffany may not have been the most loyal to Day. On the other hand, Day didn't give her much reason to stay loyal at that point by the way she treated her.
Brent, what'd you think of, we talked to Cody a little bit, what'd you think about Vanessa on the episode tonight?
Look, I love me some Vanessa. I felt like she was whining a little bit about the fact, oh, my sister's getting a raw deal because we share so much of the same DNA. Like, you know, she got to play Big Brother because she's your sister. Let's take that into account first and then go from the point like, well, maybe the house guests are holding it against her because she's your sister. I do think there are some things that Tiffany could have done to help herself in the house. Oftentimes when I saw her, when she should have been strategizing like Vanessa would have been, Tiffany was sleeping. So often I would go on the feeds and Tiffany's asleep when she should be strategizing with people or talking with people or planting seeds with people. And, you know, people will say, well, she couldn't do that. Her bed was made already. But there were definitely openings this week to get rid of Devon. Devon opened the door for her. Tiffany just couldn't walk through it.
Yeah. And we'll see. Yeah, I'm surprised that Vanessa doesn't say more like, well, it's totally understandable that they want to go and get rid of my sister after the way that I played the game. Like, I kind of feel like she should own that more.
Yeah, it was, like I said, a little bit.
Maybe it's an all-stars posturing.
Maybe. That's definitely a possibility. I mean, you know, she doesn't want to come out there and put a target bigger than she already has. I mean, once they evict Tiffany tonight, I mean, I feel like some of that, you know, stink of strategy that Vanessa has on her may dissipate.
Are you sure that's like the stink of strategy?
I'm still smelling Uncle Austin's bathroom blow up.
Well, I mean, they might not be so threatened by her if she does come back in an all-star season.
Okay. All right. James Crockett says, hey, remember when Day still had strategy and wasn't kicking people on the way out in case they returned? Remember that?
Yeah, good times. Yeah. I remember those days.
All right. BB Janie says, do you think that Tiffany was so huggy because she knew she would come back? House guests were speculating this week. Watch that triple take from Tiffany when Julie tells her she might come back into the house. I don't think she's that good an actress, Brent. I think that this was a total blindside.
Total blindside. Yes.
Yes, total blindside for Tiffany.
Total blindside.
Yes, she had no idea she was going to be able to come back. And her hugging the other house guests was just part of her personality. I'm sorry. Tiffany is more empathetic and emotional than Vanessa was. I think she was able to get to know some of the house guests maybe a little bit better than Vanessa got to know her house guests at this point in the season. And I think they were genuine hugs. I really do. She's a nice lady. I like her.
Okay. Kristen says, how much time do the house guests spend rehearsing those awkward hallway interactions to the DR?
Oh, God.
Although I feel like a lot of them were just sort of like very awkward more than rehearsed tonight. It was a lot of like high fives. The worst, I think, was your boy, Paul. And I really liked Paul. I feel like I was in on Paul early, but I mean, he was insufferable coming back from the diary. I mean, that guy is so high on himself.
Oh my God. Yes. Like, it's so funny. You know, remember, I was on this podcast a week
ago. He's like Zach Rance on ecstasy, in love with himself.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I was on this podcast a week ago telling you how anti-Frank, anti-Bridget I was, how much I love the other part of the house. The other part of the house, to me, they're dead to me. They're absolutely dead to me. I like Frank. I like Bridget. I want Tiffany to come back. I like Day.
Paul is such a ham.
I know.
That Paul is such a ham.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, that Glenn is calling him over to help him with the eggs and breakfast.
I'm trying to get to the point that I'm with you on this. I loved Paul. Like, he was very fun. But the last week, you know, he hasn't been on the block and he's gotten very cocky, very cocky. Like, yes. He thinks he's in with the good old boys. He's calling the shots. You guys, I think it was you and Taryn, or maybe on our feed show, we were talking about how Paul thinks he's a spy, but the information that he has, like the people that he's giving it to, they already have that information and he's all proud of it. And it's not doing him any good. I mean, anytime you start doing something like that, people, your name starts to get to the top of other people's lists. And I remember it was Dave Vaughn who said, well, it's all great that he's doing that for us, but he could be a double agent and be doing that for the other side too. I mean, what makes us trust this guy?
Yeah. You know, it's also a good move when you're like a double agent is don't get the other people that you're double agents with you the same haircut you have.
I think he knows one haircut and this is it.
Like, yeah, we'll be like an army. We'll all, everybody in the army has the same haircut. Let's all get the same haircut.
Right? The hilarious part is I've had that haircut. Like, when I was like 22, I had that haircut before I went in the army. Like, it was a good one.
Yeah. A lot of people do have that haircut, but I don't know. It's not working for Paulie. Sorry, for homeboy. It's not working for homeboy. Hannah says, what's up with everyone wearing sunglasses inside the BB house? I feel like that was a Vanessa thing, too.
Yes, when you saw Tiffany talking to Paulie in the Nairobi room with both of their sunglasses on, I mean, I felt like I was watching Big Brother 17 all over again. I really did. She had those big, you know, absolutely fabulous sunglasses on and trying to make her case to Paulie, trying to incentivize him to keep her. It just didn't work.
Yeah. All right. Brent Showerman says, is it possible that James is playing the best game right now? He seems to be in the middle of all the right alliances. You guys touched on this during the Big Brother happy hour, which if you're not listening to that, then you are not doing your job as a Big Brother fan. Unless you don't want to know about the live feeds, then that's understandable. But if you're following the feeds, you got to be watching the happy hour on Mondays, or at least listening to the podcast version. And is James playing the best game in your mind, Brent?
I mean, I think Alex summed it up. I mean, if best game is defined by playing no game at this point during the Big Brother house, I mean, then he is playing the best game. I mean, he's not really doing much. And the secrets that people are telling him, he basically can't keep. He's in a showmance with Natalie. I do think his vision of what he should be doing is being clouded by that. His relationships with Paulie and Zakiya and Nicole and Corey are not as strong as they were back when it was the 8-pack. I mean, obviously Natalie was not a part of that, but James was. It's definitely created a little bit of distance between him and some other people in the house, and that's not good. I mean, if any showmance goes up and people want to take the easy way out, they'll definitely go after James and Natalie.
Yeah, he's not pissing people off. He's being social. He's not letting the house imagine what it's like to not have him in there. But he probably does not have his eye on the ball.
Right. I mean, he's not a mover and a shaker. I think it was Derek Levasseur said on your podcast, you know, in order to affect change in the Big Brother house, you have to win head of household. You have to control some power. And James really hasn't had that. I mean, he's never, like, I remember watching him last season, and when James got power, he was not afraid to make a big move. He was not afraid to, remember, he lied to Shelley's face, telling her specifically, I will not put you on the block. Yeah, he loves his blood. He lied to them specifically, I will not put you up, and then the only two people he did put up was Shelley and Clay. So James can game, but right now he's definitely being clouded by the Natalie showmance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Edward Morris, who benefits the most from teams ending? Who's hurt the most from teams ending? Great question by Edward.
I think Michelle is definitely hurt by Team's ending because Frank and Bridget don't really care for Michelle all that much, but they can never put her up, and Michelle knew that.
Also that, you know, Frank and Polly are probably the number one and number two contenders to win HOH in any given week. So there was a lot of like guaranteed safety by just being on that category four team.
Right. I think Bridget also is in danger now that teams.
Oh, she's in total like Pawn City now, right?
Yeah.
So she's not going anywhere though.
Are you ever going to evict Bridget over any of these other people in the house?
Right, I mean, but her and Natalie could be trading off spots where the other one is, the who's the pawn. Basically, right. If somebody is friends with James, they won't want to piss James off. And then Bridget could be the pawn in those weeks where somebody who's friends with James is the HOH that doesn't want to piss James off. So we'll see. So who gets helped the most by the team's ending?
Oh, wow. Let me look at the board here.
Probably the people that want to take a shot at Frank, right?
Yeah, but Polly couldn't play for HOH. I mean, I guess, you know, Bridget and Frank are, you know, simultaneously helped and heard by Team's ending. I don't know. Maybe Paul, because he was definitely a little bit anti-Day lately, and he can't.
Right, and it wasn't like Day was ever going to win HOH. Day or Zakiya were winning HOH and going to, you know, ever keep him safe.
Right. So I don't know. I think Paul's probably helped the most because he wants to be a bro and nominate Day, which is a bad play for him because he's not in the Showman's Alliance. He should be trying to align himself with Day, not trying to target her.
Okay. Ian, I'm not sure which Ian, but Ian asks, Roadkill ends in more Twisted Problems. Any chance we see a return of fan favorite Battle of the Block? the fan favorite Battle of the Block. Well, Julie did say all good things must come to an end tonight as she was describing the end of the team's twist.
Right. She said only two people will be on the block. Of course, then again, there were only two people on the block at the end of Battle of the Block. They said they're going to open up that room. But you know, at the beginning of the season, they were absolutely emphatic. No Battle of the Block. When people asked them about it, they said it's done. We're not doing it. I can't imagine that they would bring it back. To bring it back at this point in the season when there's only 12 people in the house, once we get the battle back winner, I mean, you're going to have four people on the block. I mean, I can't imagine Big Brother wants to do that. I mean, they could, but why bring it in now? Why not just start with it?
Yeah. Is Battle of the Block coming back?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, open and shut. Theo says, who would be the most entertaining to see come back from the battle back? Well, I think that this is a pretty straightforward question, Brent.
Well, obviously, Jose seems to have some pizzazz. I mean, Glenn would be hilarious coming back, and Tiffany would be fun to come back and say today, you know, I'm still going to beat you, because she thinks she already beat her, and that may not necessarily be the case.
Glenn also has the legitimate axe to grind with everybody there in the house of, I'm in this house with all these kids, and it's terrible. All these youngsters coming after the old guy. They should make a season called Big Brother Millennials versus Glenn's Eggs.
Well, if he does come back into the
house. Millennials versus Glenn's Eggs.
If he does come back into the house, I could see him like being a little bit like a Spencer Clawson, where he's like on the block every week, but somehow he slips through. Like, I don't think anybody's really going to come for Glenn if he comes back. But, you know, Glenn has been cooped up for what, you know, like 4 or 5 weeks now.
Like chickens. I
mean,
yeah.
If he comes back into the house, I mean, he may not be able to control himself. He might over-strategize.
Oh, that's Brent. Go back to the preview show. That was my original prediction for Glenn, that he was going to be first out because he was going to overplay the game. He was spared that fate.
I remember. I stole that from you. I stole it from a good source.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. He will play so hard. I mean, he's been just like living in somebody's spare bedroom for a month.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if Glenn came back and he was the head of household for an entire week? Oh my God. That would be that would be so good. I can't even hope for that. That's so fast.
It would be the biggest case of HOH-itis in the history of the show.
Paul
what a diversion it would be. Man. Glenn or Glenn A, not Glenn X, Glenn A, Jose B. And I guess the Tiffany thing does have some juice. Bronte and Victor,
yeah,
it's like
some juice. But I'm afraid she'd go after Day. Yeah, she'd go after Day, and that's what the house wants her to do. So, you know, like, I'm hoping if she gets back into the house that she figures out that going after Day, while it's appetizing, it is not the best play here.
All right. Austin Vegas says, what happened to the spy girls after Bronte left? Natalie only talks to James. Bridget only talks to Frank. Do they, the spy girls need Bronte to come back to be the glue?
That would be interesting. I have been aware of that as well, that they don't really talk like they used to. I think it comes down to the fact that Natalie doesn't really trust Frank. And Bridget does. And, you know, everybody trusts James for the most part. But Frank is definitely the fly in the ointment there. If Bronte came back into the house, she could unite them. Maybe. I'm not sure. But I hope so.
Okay. Logan Elliott says, once the winner of the battle back is in the house for the week, do you think that they will become the prime target? Brent, give me a percentage chance that the battle back winner comes in and then, let's just say, is on the block 1 week from tonight.
I would put it at less than 50%, and here's the reason why. People are always thinking, their minds are always going in the house. I mean, it seems so obvious every time that you should evict the person who came back into the house. But as we've seen so many times on reality TV, the person that looks obvious is not necessarily the person that you want to get out. Once you see somebody who's an obvious target, you're like, well, why is this person an obvious target? And maybe it benefits me to do something else. People can't help but overplay. I feel like that's what they did a little bit last week with getting rid of Bronte and keeping Tiffany, when they wanted to make a big move. And then they saw what the big move got them and they weren't so happy with that. So I don't necessarily think that making a big move at any given point is necessarily their best play.
Yeah, but it could be very bad for some of these people, like especially the Glens, Jose, Victor. Like, let's say Victor comes back in. Victor wins three battles in a row to get back into the house. And then it's like, not only is Victor back, but it's also, boy, he won three comps to get back into the house. We got to get rid of him. So you could really get like these people that are like from the beginning. It's like a Jose as well. I could see it. Like if he won four competitions to get back into the house, I definitely think people would think he's dangerous and we got to get rid of him. Like if Tiffany wins one competition to get back in the house, it's like, okay, so what? Even though Corey says she's the worst player in the house and can't win anything. But,
right.
You know, I don't think it's that dangerous, but if somebody won, you know, three or four competitions, I think you'd really start to think about them as a threat to win comps and HOHs.
I guess. I mean, it depends on what these competitions are. I mean, are they going to be like the roadkill competitions where it's like, you know, the Price is Right or something? Or, I mean, is it something like that you actually put some stock into, like, wow, they won that. That was really cool, you know?
I think it'll be stuff that's similar to that first week, like when Glenn had to go up against the other people from the Freakazoids. Like, I feel like that it's going to be those types of competitions.
All right. All right. That was very fun and very dramatic as well.
Yeah. It was a photo finish. Lara says, could Natalie win this game and sort of be like a Jordan Lloyd 2.0? Could Natalie go on and redeem the good reputation of Nicole Stradamus and be the winner of Big Brother 18?
I mean, she could, but here's what has to happen. She needs that the people who are currently not in the Showmance Alliance to figure out that Nicole, Corey, Zakiya, and Polly are together. You have to unite against them. But right now, everybody in the house except for Frank and Bridget, they all want to be friends with those people. So there, it's kind of like the brigade all over again, where the main alliance in the house has little arms here and there of people who think that they're the true number one with that alliance. But they probably, I mean, the alliance is going to be able to pick and choose who they want to keep.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I think it's not a crazy possibility. I think if you were going to be like ranking everybody, I don't think she'd be, you know, too far down the list in terms of, you know, everybody likes her. You know, if James and her both make it to jury, James could be campaigning for her in the jury. And if people feel positively towards James at that point in time, and there's somebody like who gets to the end who's unlikable, I definitely could see it. I mean, that was kind of the recipe for Jordan Lloyd, right?
Right. And she almost did it again in Big Brother 13. So anything can happen in Big Brother. You never know.
Okay. Let's do two more questions. R. Vandervest, who needs to win the HOH the most this week? Who needs it the least? Who needs it the least is tough. But what about who needs it the most?
Who needs it the most Yeah, I mean, Davon or Frank are the people that need it the most. I think both of them are in danger if anybody else wins. I mean, I'm curious to see what would happen if, I think if Nicole or Corey or somebody aligned with them won head of household, I think they're going to go after Davon. They're not going to go after Frank first because they've kind of gone back and forth about it all week. The fact that they were this close to evicting Davon tonight, and I know it doesn't seem like it was close, but it was close. There were talks being had where it could have gone the other way tonight.
All the vets, Brent, should be shaking in their boots. Believe me, because Frank as said, a dog groomer, I've sent many, I have issues with lots of vets. I deal with them constantly.
Frank said earlier today that if he got head of household, he would nominate James. And I literally almost fell off my chair. And his reasoning was, well, James seems a little too uncomfortable. And he needs to be shaken up. He needs to get back in the game.
Yeah, they call that in the biz.
That decides to rattle her.
You got to rattle somebody every once in a while.
As you saw with Polly, that never works. Like, he would be making an enemy of James, and I think he's going to need James. James needs to wake up and rattle
Tiffany, and then she went right out the door.
James needs to see that he is not part of the decision-making part of the house. Once he sees that, he will have no trouble going after those four people. But he doesn't see that right now.
Okay. And let's do one last question. This is from M. Poor. Why isn't anyone questioning Paulie because his brother came in second? That's a bigger threat than being Tiffany's sister. Yeah, why isn't anybody giving Paulie grief over
my brother Cody?
Well, I think it's like the rest of us. I mean, with all due respect to Cody, who I think played an admirable game, nobody really respects him. That season was ruled by Derek Lavasser. I mean,
what are you talking about? Taryn says that Cody didn't even make one of the 10 worst moves of all time.
I don't care what Taryn says. He's wrong. And get him on this podcast and I'll tell him why Cody is a bad player and why he made one of the worst moves ever in the history of Big Brother. I think the fact that Cody was a little bit of a wimp at the end of Big Brother may be working to Paulie's advantage, where people are like, Cody was just a nice guy. Paulie seems like that. He's not going to be, stabbing us in the back. He's just going to go along to get along, which is how people perceive how Cody played the game, even if he didn't really. I mean, Cody definitely shivved a few people at the end of Big Brother 16 in Frankie and Caleb, but people they don't remember that very well.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brent, great job tonight, and we had a lot to talk on an episode where really nothing happened. We really have a lot to get into.
Right, a lot of holding patterns right now. Until we get the battle back winner, and until we get a new head of household, we really don't know what's going to happen. My prediction is that Davon will be evicted next Thursday. I really, really, really hope it doesn't happen, because I want her in that jury, if nothing else. I really want her in the final two, because I think she's hilarious. I hope she stays, but I'm worried about her. I really am.
And last thing that I want to ask you. So hypothetically, since Tiffany has the best chance to come back in the house, 50% chance, she has to beat one person in this battle back competition and she gets back into the house. What does that picture look like? Tiffany comes back. There were a lot of people that were talking about potentially trying to save her. Do you think she comes back and is automatically the target again? And we sort of like, this is like the hitting the reset button this week and everybody is gunning after Tiffany again? Or do you think that she's sort of like, maybe we shouldn't have gotten her out? And then we end up, because if it's the whole, for the third week in a row, the whole house is about voting Tiffany out, that could get a little boring.
I don't think that will necessarily be the case, because the driving force for getting Tiffany out was Paulie, for the most part, and that was because he was head of household. In any scenario where they had four votes, they needed to get Paulie's tiebreaker vote, and he just wouldn't go along with it.
Yeah.
If she comes back into the house, there was so much dissension this week in terms of wanting to keep her. I think there might be some people who are glad, like of all the people to come back, I'm glad we got her. I think Nicole would be happy. I think Corey would be happy. You saw the goodbye message that Nicole left for Tiffany. Tiffany seemed very taken by it in terms of she appreciated it, and she knew that Frank and Nicole were working in her best interest this week. So I don't necessarily think that she would be evicted right away.
Okay. Brent, what's the hashtag tonight?
Stink of strategy. No, I wrote that down.
Yeah, let me give you nominees. Okay.
What was the one that we had at the beginning?
All right. We have Glenship.
That was it.
No Eggs Quester.
No.
No Millennials versus Glenn's Eggs.
Too long. Workshop that.
How dare you? All right. So what is it? The Glenship?
The Glenship. Yes.
Glenship. Yeah. Yeah, so that's good. All right, Brent, great job. Follow Brent on Twitter. He's at @OneLuckyGay on Twitter. You'll see him again this Monday night on the reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar and the rest of the Live Feed gang. Brent, I really enjoy those shows.
Best thing we've ever done in a long time was do those Live Feed shows on Monday night. We have a lot of information by then. We can talk total spoilers. We really get down into the strategy about, you know, who's positioned well in the house, who's playing well in the house, and why. And, you know, I'm a little bit more of a passionate TV guy, and Taryn and Alex are a little bit, they're probably better strategists than I am. So I think it's fun debate.
It's a good mix.
You guys should definitely be a part of it. Yeah.
Jordan does a good job moderating it all. So definitely check that out. All right. So that's going to do it for us here tonight. Again, no live show in the morning, but we'll be live after the Battle Back competition to see how it all plays out this Friday night live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time. 6:15 Pacific. Although I might be the only person, I don't know how many people will actually watch the show on Pacific time. I bet a lot of people tomorrow night, because they're going to want to see how the Battle Back plays out. So a lot of West Coast people are going to be watching East Coast feeds some way or another. So looking forward to all of that. And of course, your comments. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say at robisawebsite.com. Have a good one. Take care, everybody.